Thankful to see each one. We're going to turn back to Romans chapter 1. We're going to deal with some of the sins there. And I say some of the sins. We're going to deal with one tonight, but we're going to deal with some others in the future. And we've been trying to deal and study with sin. And I hope we take this study the right way. Studying on sin is not to look at it and say, well, I don't do this one, so I'm better than somebody that does it, because we're all guilty of sin. And usually what happens when we study on sin is we're going to see some things that we're guilty of. And hopefully that encourages us to repent and do some things right in our life. But we have to be knowledgeable of what sin is. As we mentioned Sunday, there is a lot of people that have no knowledge of what sin is. There are certain things that they even do in their lives, and I've made this statement before. Back when I was a young man, I even had this conversation with one of my nephews recently. I said there was a time when I was doing some things that I thought was fine. I thought was all right because friends did it. Maybe family members did it. And, you know, I just thought it was okay. I remember being a teenager and thinking there were certain things I was doing that was all right. And because maybe a preacher didn't preach on it, or I didn't hear them preach on it, I just assumed it was all right. And then I started digging in my Bible and I'd come across some things and I'd go, ooh. You know, it kind of hits you right between the eyes, and you'd be like, well, I'm guilty of that. And you've got a choice when you find out you're guilty of something. You can either try to justify it, cover it up, or you can acknowledge the truth and repent. And that's what I pray that we do. And so the real reason we're studying these things is so we have knowledge of the truth. That's the reason that we want to study these things, is to have knowledge of the truth. We're going to pick back up, as we've read before, in verse 29 of Romans chapter 1. But before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, even knowing that we commit sins against You sometimes unknowingly, we just don't realize what we're doing is wrong. But we pray that You would give us wisdom. We pray that You would search our heart and help us to see if there'd be any wicked way within us. And then, Father, help us to see the need to repent of it, that Your light can shine through us even brighter. And, Father, we pray for the lost, that they would see their sin. And, Father, that they would also see that You have the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, if they would turn by faith and belief upon Him. Father, we ask for these blessings, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. We're going to stop reading there with the one verse. We've covered a lot of these sins already, but one that we haven't got into, that I don't think that it's worded like this anywhere else in the Scripture, but debate. Well, what does debate mean? Now, when you study what it means contention, strife, or wrangling. That's what it means. And just to get a little bit more into that, also means variance or divergent, which we studied variance. It means being different to be different. And I think we see that a lot in the world today. You have that. That also means somebody's being contentious just to be contentious. They just want to argue. You know that there's some people who live off of drama. There's got to be something wrong somewhere. There's got to be something I can complain about somewhere. And in the world that we live in, it looks like you got a whole lot of people that try to find something to be offended about. They try to find something to argue about. And that's all over the world. It's from all sides. It's not one group or another. It's a lot of people do that. And so you got contentious, and that means likely to cause an argument. That's what contentious means. It's somebody that is likely to cause an argument. In other words, they're looking for one. There's some people, I think, that go around looking for things to argue about. We're not to be those kind of people. We're to be the people that strives as much as life in us, live peaceably with all men. But we have to stand for the truth, too. But even within that, we're not looking for an argument. We do look to educate. We do look to tell people the truth in love. But we're not looking for an argument with people. If I wanted to have an argument, look, I can go find a Pentecostal preacher any day of the week and get in an argument with them, or I can go over to the Catholic Church and, you know, just rail against all that they do, and I can get in an argument really quick if I wanted to get into an argument every day. Now, sometimes you cannot avoid a good discussion, or you can't avoid offending people. The truth offends. Let's understand that. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to cause any ripples. I don't want to rock the boat. Well, look, if the boat's sinking, it needs rocking a little bit. You know, I got into a boat years ago, and it was somebody else's boat, but he asked me to unload it off the trailer, and when I did, he went and parked the vehicle, and then all of a sudden, he started waving his hands and yelling. Y'all know why he was yelling? He forgot to put the plug in. I was sinking and didn't even know it. And I got to shore, luckily, before it went underwater, but it was hard. Even with that, you know, gas motor on the back of it, it took quite a bit of strength to get it to shore because it already had a pile of water in it. Well, he needed to yell, didn't he? He needed to get my attention. And there's times with sin, you've got to get people's attention. You've got to tell them the truth. And sometimes they don't want to hear it. But you don't let the boat sink. You don't let the ship go down. There's times to rock the boat. And I'm not saying that's what we look for. We look for standing for the truth in love. But when you stand for the truth, understand there's people that are not going to like it. There are people that will get upset. Now, the truth offend them, that's one thing. If it's me purposely looking for a fight, that's a totally different subject. We don't need to be contentious people that are looking to argue. And I think if we use humility, we use humbleness of mind, we put on the mind of Christ, we can avoid a lot of confrontation. But I do know also that there are times that you're probably going to have to tell somebody, you viper and hypocrite. There's sometimes you're going to have to say, now you're not standing for the truth. And those are difficult times. We have to rebuke. We have to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We have to reprove. There's things that you have to do sometimes that will cause strife, but we're not looking for the strife. We're not trying to find it, which is what debate is talking about here. And then that other word that we used, wrangle, it talked about wrangling. The word wrangle means a dispute or argument. And it's typically one that is long and complicated. And that's something that a lot of people like in our day and time, a long argument. Look, I don't want a long argument with people. And this gets to the point of striving with people. Look, why am I going to argue with somebody that I'm not going to move? Why would I do that? And keeping that in mind, turn with me over in the Scripture to Matthew chapter 7. I know we all know this Scripture. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, notice what Christ told us here. And this gets into the debate subject. And debate is not meaning you just have a disagreement. Debate is you're wrangling. You're getting into these long conversations that are fruitless. And we have a lot of that in our world today, don't we? How many times, you know, you could turn on your radio on the way home tonight, and how many arguments do they have every single day that never results in anything being solved? Does that mean the truth doesn't need to be stood for? That's not what I'm saying. But just sitting there and yelling back and forth with somebody to no point, no end, that's not a godly thing. That's not something that we want to get focused on. And so God told us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Oh my goodness, the Lord Jesus Christ called some people dogs. Well, he did. And he wasn't just trying to be contentious with that. He was just pointing out there's some people who do not want the truth. And you don't take that which is holy and try to convince somebody that doesn't want it that they're wrong. And again, this gets into the debate factor. This gets into the argument factor. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I'm not going to a Pentecostal and argue in tongues all the day long. I know what the Bible says about it. I know what I believe. I don't mind having a discussion. I don't mind telling them what I believe upon it and going to Scripture with them. I don't mind having a Bible study about it. But if we're just going to sit back and yell at one another and tell each other we're wrong all day long and then leave hating one another, we haven't resolved anything. In fact, we probably made it worse. That's not what I'm to do. And you know, even the disciples one time, when they had some people they had some disagreement with, they thought that we're doing some things wrong. God, let us call down fire and consume these people. The Lord rebuked them for that. He said, just leave them alone. Let God deal with that. You just make sure you're taking care of your business is basically what He told them. You can't control everybody else. But yet a lot of times, if we're not careful, we think we've got to fix everybody else in the world. I have a hard enough trying to fix myself. I can't fix everybody else. Now, I will help anybody I can. I will talk with anybody that allow me to talk with them. I don't mind discussing things with anybody. But to get in an argument with somebody all day long is a waste of time. And let me go beyond that, it is a sin. It is a sin for us to go out and try to argue with people. Preacher, you saying we shouldn't stand for the truth? That's not what I said. I can stand for the truth and speak the truth in love. But I don't have to call somebody names. I don't have to try to run somebody down. I don't have to try to get in a yelling match, an argument match with them, and walk away blood red. I don't have to do that. I don't have to behave in that way. So Jesus said, don't try to give that which is holy unto dogs. There are people that do not want to hear the truth. And no matter how much you tell the truth to them, they're never going to listen. That doesn't mean we don't speak the truth. That doesn't mean we don't stand for the truth. But we don't get into long, complicated debates with people that have no end. That's the part, that wrangling is the part that we need to be careful of. Turn back with me to Psalm 56. And this gets into what the world does with wrangling. And the word wrangle, we think about wrangler. We think about somebody wrangling things together and things of this nature. Another word for that is rest. And that's not R-E-S-T, that's W-R-E-S-T, like you're wrestling. You're in a constant fight. You're in a constant struggle. Notice here, and I know it's talking about the other side here, when you read verse 5 of Psalm 56. It says, every day they rest my words. And notice again the way that's spelled, W-R-E-S-T. They're wrestling with those words, aren't they? And of course, if you read back and after, you can see he's talking about the words of God and how he stands in the Word of God, puts his trust in the Word of God. And he said, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Is that not the world we live in as a Christian? Is that not how the world deals with the teachings and principles and the commandments and judgments and statutes of the Lord Jesus Christ? They wrestle with them. Well, I don't think that's really important. I don't think I need to do that. I don't think I really need to trust in Christ and all these other things that they wrestle against. And sometimes we feel like they're wrestling with us, but what they're really doing is wrestling with God. Y'all might remember how Samuel felt like the people of Israel had rejected him, and God had to come to him and said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. And he had to remind him of that. And I think sometimes we take these arguments and things that go on in this world, we take them personally. And I know that since we love the Word of God and since we love God, it's easy to take them personally. I understand that. But I think God would tell us the same thing He told Samuel. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And they will wrestle against the Word of God. They will go against it. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I know there's a lot of things, even looking at Judgment Day coming and how we should live in this present world. He says in verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." And that's what we need to be as God's people. We don't do the works of God. We don't keep the commandments for our salvation, but we do keep them in a good conscience toward God. We do keep them because God's been so good to us. We want to show His light within us and how we live and what we do. But He said, "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom giving unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some hard things, or things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest." And again, W-R-E-S-T. They're fighting against these words. And who are they that are doing this? Unlearned. Does that mean they're unlearned in the world? That's not what he's talking about. They're unlearned in the Scriptures. They're unlearned in the things of God. And those that are unstable, those that are not rooted, grounded, and settled in the things of God. They argue these things. They wrestle these things. As they do also the other Scriptures. And notice that last part, unto their own destruction. I think a lot of times people don't understand that when we stand up for the doctrines of the Lord, we're not doing it towards malice towards somebody else. I don't wish ill on a lost person. I want them to repent and be saved. I don't wish ill on a brother or sister in Christ that is not walking according to the Word of God. I want them to receive a full reward when they meet the Lord, and they cannot do that if they're walking and living in sin. And it's actually out of love I want to tell them the truth. Because I want them to do that which is right, so one, that Christ can be seen within them, that they're not a stumbling block or a hindrance to some other brother or sister in Christ, but also it's about their eternal reward. I want them to have that full reward. I want them to have the blessings of God in their life. I want them to have their prayers to be a blessing and things of this nature. And I know that you can't walk in rebellion to God and His commandments and have that. And so I want them to know the truth. I'm not against them. I'm actually for them. But a lot of times they don't see that, do they? Even as Paul, told the church at Corinth, he said, "The more I love you, the less I be loved." And because he was telling them some things that they didn't always want to hear. But he told them those things because they needed to hear it. They needed to hear the truth. And so he says they wrestle these Scriptures, not only this one, but other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. And of course, if we love them, we don't want destruction to come into their life and for the lost, of course, to be eternally destroyed in the lake of fire. You turn back in the book of Titus chapter 1. And you even see within the church, amongst religious people, that there were people that were rejecting the truth. They were even promoting false doctrines and false things. And he says in verse 10 of Titus chapter 1, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers." And notice the wording there. This is in the early church. He said there were many, not a few. He said there were many unruly and vain talkers, and what else? Deceivers. Especially they of the circumcision. And we know very well that there was many of them that desired to bring people back under the law. You got to keep this holy day. You got to be circumcised. You got to do X, Y, and Z to be saved. And all these other things instead of just faith in Christ. And of course, we've got that even to this day. There are deceivers. There are people walking in vain speech and things that are not according to the truth of God's Word. And then, of course, he followed that in verse 11 by saying, whose mouths must be stopped. What does that mean? You had to stand against them. Well, preacher, that'll cause contention. Look, there is a time that the sword must be brought. There is things to divide over. I don't believe in dividing over things that are not important. And I've dealt with some of that before. You know, people that eat meat versus people that don't eat meat. People that like certain styles of shoes or people that like, you know, there's many different beliefs that you have within churches on things that are not doctrinal. You know, I've seen churches fall out because who liked what football team. Or people fall out by what carpet people are going to get or what type of piano the church is going to buy and things of this nature. That's not things to fall out over. And that's when you esteem your brother more highly than yourself. You yield to whatever's going on and you move on for the sake of the gospel. But doctrines are worth dividing over. Doctrines are worth separation over. And even the Lord Jesus stood up for things like that. And of course, we know how he fought against the scribes and the Pharisees, even at times calling them vipers and hypocrites and really getting on to them because they were perverting the Word of God. And certainly there are times when we see people perverting the Word of God, we must stand up. Again, I encourage us to stand up in love. And when I say love, let me explain what that means. I believe that we handle things calmly, rationally. We don't let things get personal. But at the same time, that occasionally means rebuking, reproving, things of this nature. It doesn't just mean that you don't make a strong stand. In fact, it means we do make a strong stand. And I've often used this illustration in dealing with love. You know, there were times my daddy loved me with a hug, and there's sometimes my daddy loved me with a belt on my backside. He loved me all those times. But depending on what the situation was, it changed the way he had to show me his love. And even in church, sometimes we have to deal with each other differently. It's never out of hatred or malice. But the truth has to be stood for. And even here we see whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. There are times I have to stand up and call out sin and wrong. There are times I have to give examples of it. And there may be times in a church you have to even, you know, withdraw fellowship from some because they're walking in things that are causing division and disorder in the church. You might have to do that. But we're not trying to get in lengthy debates with people. We're not just trying to get in ongoing arguments and especially letting malice come into our hearts where we have hatred and that kind of malice that runs our life. We don't want debate and endless drama to come in and cause problems in the body of Christ. So let me just turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This will cover some of this very well. Notice what Timothy was told by the Apostle Paul, and I know ultimately the Holy Spirit leading in this. Verse 23 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. What's he telling him? Timothy, don't get in every conversation. Sometimes, you know, I look back as a young minister, and there were times I thought, man, I've got to make a stand here, I've got to make a stand there. And sometimes all I was doing is putting myself into an argument. It wasn't just me speaking the truth in love. And sometimes it can get to the place of pride. Well, I got to show people I can stand up for something. We need to be careful with that. And we need to make sure that things that are of no profit, they're not edifying to the body, it's not something of doctrinal significance or things of this nature, you got to stay away from foolish and unlearned questions. Sometimes I have to tell people, I'm just not going to get into that subject. And I'll remind you of this, to have an argument, it at least takes two people. One person being divergent, one person being difficult, one person trying to have an argument, if you'll just walk away from them, you'll avoid the debate. You just don't have to participate in it. When you see people trying to stir up strife and stir up trouble, can I encourage you just to walk away? And even in marriages, because debate doesn't just deal with doctrine. It deals with politics. It deals with family matters and all this. You know, sometimes, you know, you can be married to a person that likes to argue. You can. Y'all probably seen that before. There's been a wife that just likes to argue with her husband. Maybe a husband that just likes to get in arguments. Just be quiet and walk away. It's difficult for a person to argue with somebody that won't argue back. They might yell for a few minutes and get upset, but if you don't say anything, it's kind of hard for the conversation to continue or the debate to continue. We have to learn how to walk away. We have to learn that not every issue that comes up, we have to prove that we're right. Sometimes knowing you're right in your own heart makes all the difference in the world. And look, there are foolish and unlearned people in this world, people that are unknowledgeable of the things of God. What benefit does it do for us to get into arguments with them? I think I read this quote by Mark Twain years ago. He said, "Do not argue with a fool, for he will beat you with experience." In other words, the fool has been in many arguments, and you haven't argued with a fool before. He's just going to beat you with experience. Not beat you with facts. He's going to beat you with the experience of arguing. In other words, there's some conversations you need to avoid, or you will look foolish yourself. And that principle is also proven back in the book of Proverbs. God kind of talked on that subject too. And so here, one of the great pieces of advice that Paul gave Timothy, when there's foolish and unlearned questions, he said avoid them. Just avoid them. Don't get involved in it. Avoid it. Knowing that they do gender strife. And later in verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." That's not our goal. That's not our objective. And that, in the same word, if I'm not mistaken, that's used here to come up with the word strive, is the same word that is used in Romans chapter 1, verse 29 for debate. It's the same Greek word. We are not here for debate. You know, I remember back years ago, and I'm probably going back 20 years, but there was a, I don't remember what denomination this man was, but he had called up Brother Clyde. Brother Clyde had a radio program at the time over in Pine, Louisiana. And he said, "I want to get together and debate you on the Scripture." Brother Clyde answered that wisely, I thought. He said, "The Word of God is not open for debate." And let me ask this question, because it's been tried before. What happens when you have something like that? This crowd over here has got their, this group over here has got their crowd, this group over here has got their crowd, and they're going to come, and wherever their person makes some kind of point that they agree with, they're going to clap and cheer and amen and do all kinds of things, aren't they? And you know what both sides are going to do at the end of the day? They're going to leave believing the same thing. There was nothing edifying that was accomplished. All you did was have a good entertainment of arguing. That's all you did. That's not beneficial. Some people say, "Why won't you get together and debate this person or go over that person?" Why? Why would I do that? You think of it. Let me throw this out there. Say there was a prosperity gospel preacher somewhere that's getting filthy rich off of twisting the Scriptures. You think that even if I have a long discussion with them, that they're going to say, "You know what, I'm wrong and I'm going to change everything and give away all this money back"? Y'all think they're going to do that? They're not. Now, I pray for their repentance, but it'll take God to change them, not me. But there's a lot of people that want to find debates with people. There's people that get online every day looking for somebody to argue with. And all they do is harm things. That's why I said, look, we're not here to strive. We're not here to debate and have these long conversations. Again, I will talk to anybody for any length of time. But I'm not arguing with them back and forth all day. That, if I do that, whether I recognize it or not, I might walk away saying, see, I stood for the truth. And I tell you what, according to Scripture, God's got a different point of view of it. He's going to say, no, you wasted a day. You wasted your time on somebody that was not going to listen and not going to hear. You cast your pearls before swine. You spent a day in debate and you accomplished nothing. Even if I got angry and aggravated and had hatred in my heart towards the other person because they didn't submit to what I was telling them, there's some sin in that. Now, I think there's a lot of God's people that don't realize they're committing some sin sometimes, and yet they're standing up saying, oh, I stood for the truth. No, you got into a big argument and a debate with somebody that wasn't going to listen anyway. It may have looked good to other people in the world, but it doesn't necessarily look good to God. In fact, the way God has worded it in Scripture, it's even a sin. When we want to sit there and strive and argue all the day long. Again, that's not standing for the truth. It's not having a discussion with somebody. I'll be glad to talk to anybody for any length of time. But to argue, to name call, to just go back and forth, that's not edifying. That's not a blessing. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, which means ready and able to teach. There's a difference between debate and teaching. The other part of that verse is patience. You know, sometimes we can tell somebody the truth in love and they don't hear that day. In fact, they might have wanted to argue. And we just walk away. And we might come back later and speak the truth again in love. Maybe they're more receptive to it. But if they're wanting to argue, we're not going to argue. We'll continue to speak the truth in love over time, but not trying to get in an argument, not trying to get in a debate. In meekness, and we don't need to leave out all this, in meekness, instructing those, and notice this part, that oppose themselves. See, we think they're against us. They're not. If somebody rejects the truth, what have they done to me? Nothing. Nothing. Who have they hurt? If somebody has heard the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ and they reject it, did that hurt my salvation? That stopped me from going to heaven or getting any reward? No. Who suffers? The person that didn't trust Christ. If I preach a message unto a saved person that's walking in sin and doing something wrong, and I preach the truth in love and preach it, maybe even strongly rebuking, reproving them of what they've done, and they reject it, am I hurt? No. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't mourn for them. That doesn't mean I don't grieve that they're in the sin. But I'm saying my salvation hasn't been affected. In fact, my conscience has been cleared because I told them the truth. But who's really the one that's hurting? The person that doesn't receive the truth. And we need to see that. They are opposing themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You can't free a person that doesn't see that they're in bondage. You can't free a lost person that doesn't see that they're lost. And you can't free a saved person that has some sin in their life that they don't recognize as sin. You can't. Now, you can shame them. You can reprove them. You can rebuke them. And if necessary, even go beyond that. You can mark them and withdraw yourself from them. Which, that being in mind, we'll even close with this. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, we have this instruction in verse 17. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses." And what's a part of division? That's strife, isn't it? That's debate. That's all the things we've been covering. They're causing division in the church. Why? They're causing these offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And then he said, avoid them. Now notice this, the doctrines that ye have learned. There is doctrines that have been in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, these things were once delivered unto the saints. That y'all notice over the past 150, 100 years, even some of the past 50 years, even maybe some more of it, the past 20 years, that there has been attack on doctrine. And of course, they say the people that want to hold to those doctrines are Pharisees and scribes, and they want to accuse all kinds of things about the people that just want to hold to the doctrines that the church has always held to. And they want to make all kinds of excuse for it. And they name call and they throw out all kinds of different things. You can get in an argument with them if you want to. I warn you against that. Because the Lord said this, avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They're wanting to justify their own sins. They're wanting to walk in ways that are contrary to the doctrines of Christ. Well, we got to fight against them. We got to do all this. No, you don't. Stand in the truth. There might be some people you have to avoid. There might be some people you have to mark. There might be some that the church has to withdraw fellowship from. And they might go off in some other church and badmouth us or something else, but we got to stay true to the Word of God. But some people want to go back and just argue with those people. What are you accomplishing? If they left the church, if they left the truth, arguing with them is not going to solve anything. You got to preach the truth where you are. You got to stand for the truth where you are. But arguing with them is not going to get you anywhere. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own belly. And notice this, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And I'll say this, like Jesus said it unto the scribes and the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil. They use the same tactics he used to try to twist the Word of God to justify certain actions. Satan has not changed who he is since the Garden of Eden, has he? And even before that. He has used deceit. He has used questioning God. He has used doubting God's Word and all kinds of things over the years. And we hear those same things from people who try to lead the true doctrines of God to justify things in this world. You're not going to change them. There are some times that I've gotten in discussions with people before and they said, "Preacher, why didn't you go this route? Why didn't you say this to them? Why?" I said, "What would it have accomplished? Why would I spend all day arguing with a person and getting nowhere? Why would I do that?" All you'll do is walk away mad is all you'll do. It doesn't solve anything. I can pray for them. I can pray that God will open their eyes to the truth, that peradventure He'll give them the opportunity to repent. It is not my job to change anybody. I'll speak the truth. I'll stand on the doctrines as they are in Scripture. I won't back down in any way. But I don't have to yell at people. I don't have to call people names. I don't have to get in long, endless debates with them to prove anything. The truth is settled in heaven. But sometimes we feel like I got to convince everybody in the world that I'm right and they're wrong. If Jesus couldn't convince some people that they were wrong, y'all think we're going to do it? Some people say, "Oh, they just heard the right words from the right preacher. Just heard the right argument. There's people that heard Christ and saw Him and saw Him work miracles with their own eyes, and they still rejected the truth. That's an arrogant thing to think that we can come up with some type of argument or some type of way to correct them. Again, stand for the truth. Uphold the truth. But be careful that we don't get caught up in debates. Be careful that we don't get into wrangling with people or allow them to wrangle us into conversations of no end. Know that you're abiding in the truth. Know that you're upholding the truth. Live it. Share it with others as God gives you opportunity. But when you find they don't want to receive it, don't stand there. Look, even when Jesus told us to go with the Word into a certain city, a certain place, what did He say to do if they wouldn't receive it? Dust off the soles of your feet and go to the next one. And sometimes we as God's people, and I say we because I've had that problem. I've dealt with that. There's times when I think, God, if I can just say the right thing with them, if I can get them to see the truth. And I tell you, it took a while for God to get my attention and say, look, that's not your job. And it's hard to accept that sometimes. It is not my job to convert people to the truth. It is my job to stand for the truth, to present the truth in love, and then let the Holy Spirit deal with their hearts. That's my job. That's the church's job. But we can't make somebody do right. We can't. And if we're not careful, while we're thinking we're standing up for the truth, if we're not careful, we can commit sin and get into endless arguments, endless debate that do not edify, that do not help anybody. Again, stand for the truth. Never be ashamed of what we believe, what we stand for by the Word of God. But if somebody wants to sit and yell and argue, can I encourage you, don't cast your pearls before swine. Know how to walk away. Know how to avoid certain things that are of no profit, and that'll just rile you up, get your blood pressure up, get you angry with people. And if you're not careful, it'll lead you into hatred. And many people have gone down that path. Y'all remember how the church at Corinth had to deal with a man that was caught up in sin, caught up in fornication. And yet, Paul told him, now you've got to prove that the Word of God is really in you by forgiving, by moving on, by restoring that person when he was ready to forgive, ready to repent. We need to know the lines, because even sometimes we can think, well, I'm standing against sin or I'm standing against wrong. And if we're not careful, it leads us into a place of hatred, endless debate, wrangling. And that's not what God has called us to do. Stand for the truth. Speak it in love. Uphold it in every way. Never compromise on it. But understand there are some that will not hear the truth. And that's not in your power to control. Be willing to speak it and share it as God has told us. But when we see that they don't have the Spirit of God or they're not willing to receive the things of God, understand there's times to walk away, that we don't get caught up in sin ourselves, because we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know he can take us trying to do a good thing and turn it into something evil. That's how Satan works. Let's make sure we stand for the truth in love. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. We'll have a verse of a song.